Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 13. The holy word of God reads, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And I believe that this is afflicted physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, soul-wise. If you're depressed, if you're defeated, if you're down, if any among you afflicted, let him or her pray. Your problem is. In fact, that's the title of this message and this series. In all circumstances, pray. The Prayer of Faith, Part 9, Praying Through the Bible, Message Number 407. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That is your solution, prayer to God. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms, sing some hymns, give God the praise. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Holy Father God, we are weak and weary, and so our faith and our trust and our dependence is upon you. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your name, because you don't get weak and weary. You slumber nor sleep. You have all power and might in your hands. And Holy Father God, we individually come before your throne of grace, and we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to preach your holy word and to hear it. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell, and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and Sanballat and Tobias, Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here and out there, and give us sweet victory. once again over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Holy Father God, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be demonstrated. We pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be encouraged and revived. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen and heal those who are sick, for thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands are sick today. And if it has not already happened today, according to the inaccurate official national count of the dead from the coronavirus plague, will pass the 100,000 what they call milestone. Comfort the millions of families impacted by that. Help them to turn their eyes toward you for salvation and comfort, and towards your holy word for comfort, for we have no words. And so, Holy Father God, in spite of all that is happening in the world, Lord, we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son's name, your holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Save those souls that are nearest hell. Revive every Christian as we cast every burden and care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this time and from us today. And Lord, do your work in the hearts and lives of people who are gathering on from around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Douglas Moo said, the faith exercised in prayer is faith in the God who sovereignly accomplishes his will. Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, our faith recognizes explicitly or if you will, implicitly, the overruling providential purposes of God. We may at times be given insight into that will, enabling us to pray with absolute confidence in God's plan to answer as we ask. But surely those cases are rare. More rare even than our subjective emotional desires would lead us to suspect. A prayer for healing then must usually be qualified by the recognition that God's will in the matter is supreme. And we should never forget that. God's will in the matter is supreme. And what God wants you to do and what God wants me to do is get with his will and go with that. Beloved, in our last two messages, we saw how this passage instructs us to pray in all circumstances, no matter what you are dealing with, no matter what you are going through, no matter what kind of satanic attack that you're enduring, what kind of pain you're feeling, under all circumstances, pray. If you are afflicted, pray. Afflicted spiritually, mentally, emotionally, family-wise, temptation-wise, devil-wise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, if you will, through prayer, delivers us out of them all. God is able. But your solution is a solution that is not sexy. It is not popular. It is overlooked by many, even those who name the name of Christ, is prayer to God. Whether you feel like it or not. Every last one of you in here and out there all around the world, you know you ought to pray without ceasing, but you don't. And yet you are constantly defeated, sad, depressed. Your joy is gone because you are not willing to pray. Under all circumstances, whether you be black or white, red or yellow, in the plague or out of the plague, whatever the case, you need to pray. We also began looking at the instructions that James gave for praying for the healing of those who are sick. And there are millions who are sick today. Millions who are sick and flat on their backs. We talk a lot about those who have died already, but there are many who are sick. And the best thing you can do for your family member or your friend is to pray for them. James chapter 5 verses 14 and 15 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Here, these are clear to me, clear, simple instructions on what you need to do. But some of us, we're so proud with our prosperity gospel selves, believing the lie that everything is supposed to go well for us, otherwise we're out of the will of God. We won't even tell anybody that we're sick and that we need prayer. We would rather die and be in pain than to humble ourselves and call for the elders of the church. Some of us are so proud, we don't even want to tell people that we have a family member that has the coronavirus. The scripture reads, as it continues, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Of course, in the next verse, it talks about how that we ought to, as God's people, confess our sins and admit our faults one to another. This is a part of getting our sins forgiven and getting healed. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, God gives us four specific and simple steps here to see somebody healed. Some people have tried to make this very difficult and very spooky, but this is very simple, as is most of the Word of God. First, the sick person is to call for the elders of the church to come pray for him or her. You can have your wife to call. You can have your teenage child to call, but you need to call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you. This will take humility. This will take honesty. This will take transparency. Yes, in this day and time, people are so stinking proud. They don't want anybody to know they're having trouble. That's what's one of the things that's wrong with the church today. We're living the American way and not the God kind of way. Because God specializes, my beloved, in allowing you to get into certain straits where you have to call for the saints. Not only call on God. I know you would like it like that. But what God is going to tell you to call for the elders of the church. God's going to call you, tell you to call for some of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, even some of those that you're not speaking to because you're mad at them. Or you offended them or they offended you. God will fix it where you have to call up people that you don't really want to be bothered with. This is one of the things that he does. Almost everybody under the sound of my voice who is truly born again, they have found themselves in a situation where they had to call somebody they had not spoken to in years, but God told them, you need to call these people to help you. And that's going to mean getting right with them. And that's going to mean fellowshipping with them again. So secondly, the elders are to pray for the sick person while anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Yes, the elders of the church, those elders that you and your wife and your guests and your children ate for dinner with gossip, those elders that pastors and elders that you hate, that you tried to run out of the church and tried to vote out of the church. Yes, those pastors and those elders that you despise, God has allowed you to get so sick. And I've seen this happen so many times where they have to call for the man of God that they have not spoken to in a nice way in months or years. And here's what they say when you go to their bedside and they're about to die. Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. Thank you so much for coming to pray for me. And some who are honest will say, Pastor, you know, I have not been the best church member. And the wise pastor says, yes, I know. And then they'll say, well, I want to apologize. And I thank you for not holding that against me. Because God will allow you to get sick flat on your back. And you are about to check out. And make you call for the pastor and the elders of the church that you're not on good terms with. And they're always going to bring another brother that you don't like as well. Because the pastor knows all about it. Oh, hey, Brother Rick is over there too. Okay, Brother Rick, so glad to have you. Thank you for coming to pray for me. Some believe the oil is a symbol of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that as well. Some believe the oil is a symbol of the power of the Holy Spirit Others say it is a reference to using medicine. I don't believe that. I believe it's a symbol of the working and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I may be wrong, because I learned that from my great-great-grandmother, Mother Breelove, and others under her. They never really saw it as a medicine. They saw it as as a symbol of the Holy Ghost, the moving of the Holy Ghost on the heart and life of the person. Because when you went to the Holiness Church and there was a problem, the first thing they were going to pull out was that little triangle bottle. Olive oil that starts with the P, Pompeii or something like that. That's the only kind the Holiness people bought. And they are going to slap your forehead with that oil. Oh yes, they will. And they did it many times, even to me. Regardless of the meaning of this oil, this is God's instruction. Third, the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. God will hear the prayer, rather, and heal the person. God will hear the prayer of faith that the elders have brought and will heal the sick person by the power of God. This is, of course, as we have already read today and have talked about, if they're willing to confess their sins and if they're willing to repent. Always remember, when there is sickness, for the most part, there's sin somewhere around. Not always, but for the most part. Fourth, the sick person's sins will be forgiven through the prayer of faith by God. God will hear the prayer and heal the sick. Here we see an explicit connection between sin and sickness for the most part. I believe that there are many people in the church today who are sick mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, many who are depressed and downcast and defeated and despondent because of sin in their lives that they have not been willing to confess and repent of. I really do believe that. The Bible talks about when a woman commits adultery and she lies about it, it will show up in her skin. That's back in the Old Testament. Some of you don't know anything about that. If you have sinned against God and you are living a lie, it will show up in your spirit with soul sickness, and it will even show up in your body with physical sickness. If you watch this, it's like a cancer growing in your body, because it is a sin that you have committed, but you are living a lie about it. And as long as you continue to play that game of lying about your sin, and you're not willing to even confess it to God, do you know that there are Christians who refuse to confess certain sins to God? they think they're hiding it from God. And do you, and I know you know there are people who have committed sins against God and against people and have lied about it for years, and it shows up in their face. They can't look you in the eye for years. They can't look you in the eye to save their life. Their face is all contorted. It shows up in their spirit because they're always depressed. They're always sad. They're always despondent. They're always defeated. Sometimes they're suicidal. Sometimes they begin to question their faith, like a man did this past week. Seduced by devils and seduced by demons. And then it will show up in their body. I believe with all of my heart, sin causes sickness in the body. I believe that sin causes cancer. I believe that sin causes all kinds of diseases in the body. It's not always sin, but for the most part it is. This is what makes some Bible scholars think that James is only referring to spiritual sickness. We know from examples in the Bible that sin can lead to physical sickness. But not all sickness is due to sin. Regardless of whether we are sick or not, we ought to confess our sins to God and seek His forgiveness and make things right with others and confess our faults one to another. And regardless of whether our sickness is due to sin or not, we can seek out prayer for our healing. Dr. David Guzik said clearly, God does not grant immediate healing for every prayer of faith. And the reasons are hidden in the heart and mind of God. One preacher said the other day, he dropped the burden off of his shoulders of trying to answer people's questions. Why God is doing this to me? Why did God allow this to happen? And he's well educated, seminary graduate, pastor of a large church, master preacher. And he said God has delivered him from that burden, and he is free now to tell people, I don't know. That's all in the mind and heart of God. And you're going to have to just trust him, and I'm going to have to just trust him, because I don't know why God has allowed this to happen to you or to us. And may I lovingly encourage you that you ought to hurry up and get to that spot in your life as well. The best educated people in the world, you know what they learn at Harvard? Do you know what they learn at Cambridge? They teach them to tell people when you don't know, to say, I don't know. One of the most educated statements you can make is, I do not know. You would think that coming out of a prestigious college that they would train them to always give an answer. But there are things, folks, that sometimes we just don't know. And we have to trust God and believe God. Because we're not God. And don't ever forget that. Still many are not healed simply because there is no prayer of faith offered. The best approach in praying for the sick is to pray with humble confidence that they will be healed, unless God clearly and powerfully makes it clear that this is not His will. When the plague broke out in America, I told church folks, don't come with all of this high-sounding talk. I'm the head and not the tail. I demand this plague to go away. And all of those who were all bad and bold, they're dead. Don't you get mad with me on all that. I don't fear this plague. I don't feel this virus. Let's just gather together and have church. Bless God and all that. And we're the head and not the tail. And we're God's choice people. And we're special. We're the apple of His eye and all this stuff. I told him, I said, don't be doing that. I demand that this pandemic go away. I demand it. Be gone. And all that. I told him from Drum Street, don't do that. Wherever you got that from, send it back to wherever you got it from. That's not going to work. I told all of my brethren, all of my sistren, my charismatic brothers, my prosperity gospel brothers, all the little potions, abracadabra stuff that you've done in the past. And here's what I told everybody. I said, be humble. I said, be humble. Don't come with all that mumbo jumbo stuff that you heard somebody else say. You don't even know what it means. Totally out of context. Does not even refer to you. Don't do that with God, because you'll be gone. All that arrogant, proud, be gone talk, and I demand it, I command it to be gone. Have you noticed you haven't heard too much of that? I told the people from Jump Street, don't do that. And here's how you need to be regarding this plague as God's people. And I told them straight up, you need to be humble. And this is what I told them specifically what you ought to say. You can pray it however you want to pray it. But you need to come like this. Holy Father God, I deserve the corona. I don't care how good you think you are. I deserve the coronavirus plague like anybody else. But Lord, I am asking you to have mercy upon me and my family and protect us from this plague, this coronavirus plague, if it be your will. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, I know that I deserve hell. Not only do I deserve this coronavirus plague, but I deserve hell itself. But I thank you for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Please have mercy upon me and my family. However, Lord, if it's your will for me to go this way, let your will be done. Now that's what I told people to do. Don't come with all that stuff you see on TBN and Daystar, all that shouting and loud talk and commanding stuff and demanding stuff. Don't come with that. Nuh-uh. Don't do that. All this proud, arrogant, like you God, telling stuff to go away. You don't have that power. You better be humble. That's that somebody taught you that mess. And that's not going to work. So don't do it. Be humble. And understand it is God's will. If it's God's will for you to go this way, that's the way you're going. If it is not, then you won't go that way. And another thing too, I never bought into all of the mumbo jumbo that people have been talking about you need to wash your hands for 20 seconds, you need to wash your thumbs 2 times, and you need to wash your feet, and you need to not touch your face, and you, all that. That's all well and dandy and good. You need to, I guess, do that. But I knew from Jump Street that doesn't matter. Do you hear me? If God wants you to get the coronavirus, you are going to get it. And by the way, many, many preachers, pastors, bishops, and churches, church members have suffered. And many are still sick to this day. Because contrary to what you want to hear, this coronavirus plague is primarily against the church people, people called by God's name. Not the world, not sinners. God loves the sinners. He's upset with us not reaching the sinners and playing instead of praying. And that's why from Jump Street, I didn't pray that God would remove the plague. I'm not praying right now that God would remove the plague. Even if it gets me, so be it. And I'm in that age group. Humanly speaking, I should be dead. But by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, He has not willed that yet. You say, preacher, would you be shocked that if you got the coronavirus plague and died and you were on your deathbed? I wouldn't be shocked at all. Because I deserve it just like anybody else. In fact, I deserve to go to hell. And you do too. I know you don't think so, but you do. We all do. We need to be humble. Don't be walking around like you some God commanding stuff and demanding stuff. And what happened? Did you demand it? Did you command it? Where did it go? It jumped on you. See? You need to humble yourself down into the dust with your proud, arrogant, prosperity gospel self. And by the way, have you noticed you don't hear too much of all? Have you noticed? You don't hear too much of all of that kind of talk? We're this and we're that. We're the head and we're not the tail and all of this. We're God's children, with the king's kids, and bless God, we're gonna survive, and half of your church is dead or in the hospital. I saw the other day even a big supporter of President Trump I don't know why I can't remember that man's name, Dr. Robert, what's his last name? Dr. Robert of First Baptist Dallas. I saw him on television, and he was just as shocked when President Trump made his little announcement, and he called the president and said, we're not going to do it tomorrow. We're going to do it on June the 7th or something like that because we've had some folks in our church who have come down with the coronavirus plague. So be humble. Having prayed, we simply leave the matter in the hands of Almighty God. Let God's will be done. Not your will be done. God responds to prayers that are made in a spirit of faith in Him, in a humble manner. Dr. Ray Fowler said, it is not the oil that brings the healing here, but the prayer of faith in the God who hears the prayer. He's the one who can move, has moved, will move, is able to move. God Almighty, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, all power is in His hands, and He can raise up people who are on their coronavirus bed right now. If you would be humble enough to pray the prayer of faith, He can do it. If they're willing to confess their sins and repent, get their hearts right with God and be humble and just say, you know, I deserve this. And I deserve to go to hell as well. But Lord, have mercy and grace upon me. Here's the sins that I have committed. And I am repenting now. Call for the elders of the church to pray. They can pray right on the iPhone. Same power. Well, there's nothing like being there. Stop lying. God can work without you being there. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You can anoint somebody right through the iPhone. What? God knows what you're doing. These people run around talking about, it's just, it ain't nothing like you being right there with them and so forth and so on. God can do some wonderful things without you being there. You pray the prayer of faith. And you say, if you were here, I would anoint you with this little triangle bottle of oil. Because God is the one who heals, not you, not the oil. Dr. Ray Fowler said, it's not the oil that brings the healing here, but the prayer of faith. Whose faith? The elders. We cannot blame a lack of healing on a lack of faith on the sick person's part. They might not even be able to open their eyes. They already demonstrated faith in calling for the elders of the church and humility. Now it's the elders' job to pray in faith, believing in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In response to the prayer of faith, James says the Lord will raise the person up. Glory be to God. And by the way, thousands have been raised up down through the years, my dear friends. Thousands. This is no secret. Everybody knows this. And I'm talking about folks in Baptist churches, Bible churches, Methodist churches. I'm not even talking about charismatic churches. When some of them have gone out and got some folk who were healthy and put them in a wheelchair and slapped them down to the ground and then raised them up with some fake mess. We're not talking about that. I'm living today because of the prayer of faith. And so many of you are. You wouldn't be here if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. This is resurrection language, my beloved, but probably refers to the person getting out of their sick bed, no doubt. Notice it is the Lord who raises the person up, not the preacher, not Benny Hinn, not the oil, not the slap upside the head that is, I believe, knocked some people out cold. Some of these slaps, I tell you the truth, I would never want somebody to slap me like that. You're trying to hurt me. You're trying to injure me. Don't slap me like that and slap me down to the ground. Once again, it is not the elders, not the oil, not even the prayer of faith that is ultimately responsible for the healing, but the Lord. My beloved, only God can heal. Only God can heal. Only God can heal. Sometimes God will heal miraculously and immediately. Sometimes God will use doctors and medicine to heal. Sometimes God will speed up the natural processes of healing. Some of you people would be healed if you would just take your medicine like the doctor told you. I know you don't trust the doctor, but he didn't get his degree and everything to just tell you a lie. Some of you people are rebellious and stubborn. You don't believe anybody. But if the doctor told you to take this blood pressure medicine, you better take it. Because whatever you think you're doing is not working, and you're going to wake up with blood coming out your nose and your eyes. If the doctor gave you the medication, he's trying to help you. Now, until you change your diet real good and you lose about 100 pounds, excuse me, and you lose about 100 pounds or 150 pounds, you better take that medication if you want to live. That's God's answer to you. That's right. If you got high sugar, you got diabetes, the doctor has provided you some medicine, and you weigh 400 pounds, you better take that medicine to keep your sugar down if you want to live longer. Now, you do need to lose 250 pounds. I don't recommend WW Weight Watchers, because I've never seen anybody lose any weight on that but Jennifer. I love Oprah, but she's not doing that great with her. She owns the company. And all of the Weight Watchers I see on the commercials, they're not doing that fantastic. And there's another little diet thing out there. Now, they need to get some different people. Called Noom. Have you heard of it? Noom. It's a psychological diet thing. But the people that they show on the commercial, they still fat. I don't know what you're doing. What you're talking about. Noom. They still overweight. Tell me they lost 35 pounds or 40 pounds. Don't be taking those diets. You better go over there to Marie Osmond. Because she looks good. Go with a diet that you see people have lost some weight. Don't go with these little fake diets and that tell you can eat what you want and all. That's a lie. You can't do that. You got to stop eating. You have to stop eating so much. And until you do that, which you intend to do, but you have good intentions. And as they say, good intentions pave the road to hell. And until you do that, you better take that medication. That's your answer to the prayer right there. So cut the foolishness out. If the doctor tells you to do it, go ahead on and do it until you lose the weight you're supposed to lose. In fact, he already told you that too. You need to lose weight. You are obese. Oh, you hurt my feelings. So what? You're getting ready to die. You're obese and you need to lose weight. And you don't need an operation either. Just stop eating so much. The only operation you need is to remove the plate from in front of you. Do some pushaways. You know you ought not to be eating fried chicken and potato salad and macaroni salad. You know that. You just love it. You are a glutton. And that's what's causing you the sickness. Some of us are sick because of our own sin. And until we confess and repent of that sin and stop eating all that meat and go to vegetables and eat that, and stay with it. You can have the elders to come all you want to. You're going to still die. Preacher, you ought not to sin. No, you can't be sinning and being a glutton and then going to want to call for the elders of the church all the time. Pastor, please pray for me. And sometimes we just need to trust God while we wait for His answer. Let God's will be done and not ours. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for our time together today around your holy word and around the emphasis on prayer on Wednesdays. Now, Holy Father God, help us to pray now. And then as we depart from this place, help us to pray without ceasing throughout this day. And Lord, for those thousands of families that have sick people at the house and sick people at the hospital, we pray that they will commit themselves to the prayer of faith, and that they would pray for their family members and friends. Whether they see something or not, whether they feel like it or not, help them to pray under all circumstances. Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray. Help us to stop whining and crying and boo-hooing and being depressed and defeated and disgusted and bewildered, acting like we don't even know you, and pray in your direction and for Jesus Christ's sake as you see fit, according to your will. Hear and answer our prayers. And as one old preacher said the other day, Lord, please remove our mountain, and if you choose not to do that, give us the strength to climb. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your friend, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. Please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws, God's Ten Commandments. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. These are biblical facts. I'm talking to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a historical fact as well. This is very, very serious. When you die, because you will die, you will die because of sin. Your body will be taken to a funeral home and will be buried or cremated. Your soul will go to eternal death in that awful place called hell, that Jesus, when he preached about it one time, said, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In fact, Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly, loving one, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly and loving one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven, because he loves you and he does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven with him. And he preached one time and said that in hell there is weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. In another part of the Bible talks about how that there is a darkness that you can feel in hell. The Bible calls it the blackness of darkness, a darkness that you have never seen before. I assure you. In hell, dear friend, according to the rich man and according to Abraham, who saw the rich man, Father Abraham told him, "Son, remember, in your lifetime you had it good. And others had it bad. Son, do you remember?" In hell you will have an agonizing and painful and tormenting memory. And nothing like memory can shake you up. Some of you can think about something stupid you did in the past, and it'll make your whole body flinch. Memory can be a very painful thing. And then sadly, the saddest aspect of hell, dear friend, to me, is that once you go beyond the gates of hell, you will never return. You will never return. No more God, no more Jesus, no more grace, no more gospel. And contrary to the lying Catholics, no purgatory, no limbo, no in-between. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Nobody can bail you out of hell. Nobody can purge you out of hell. Once you go to hell, that is it. So you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before you leave this earth. You need today to get your eternal life insurance policy signed in the blood of Jesus, for he paid your sin debt. So thirdly, dear friend, you need to accept the fact right now that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, "Preacher, why you preach so hard on hell?" You don't have time to play. We have 10,000 plus people dying every day. I got to tell you the truth. Heading out, people are checking out faster now than ever in our lifetime into eternity, a Christless eternity. And if they do that, they're going to hell. So hell, dear friend, is bad news. But I have some good news for you. I have good news. That's what they call the gospel. The gospel is good news. Jesus Christ said himself with his own mouth, "For God so loved the world," that's good news, "that he gave his only begotten Son," that's good news, "that whosoever," the word whosoever means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," trusts in him, relies on him, depends on him to be saved, "believeth in him," Jesus, "should not perish," perish where? In hell. I just got through telling you about that, "but have everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus and with the saints and with the angels." God does not want you to die and go to hell. He gave up himself. He gave up his only begotten Son to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins. As the songwriter said, he paid it all. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9 and 13 tells us very clearly that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have not heard anything about how that you ought to be in a church. You got to be in a church to be saved. You got to be a church member to be saved. There are many church members in hell today. That you have to be baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross was not a church member. He didn't have time to join a church. He didn't have time to get baptized. Jesus said to him when the thief on the cross believed on Christ on the cross, Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He might not have said it that strong because he was dying himself. But he said it. That's what the Bible says. He did not come off the cross and baptize him. He did not come off the cross and make him sign a card for church membership. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Those are good things to do once you are saved through Jesus. But speaking in tongues does not prove that you're saved. Dancing and shouting and running around the church has nothing to do with your salvation. Giving money to the church and doing good works has nothing to do with your salvation. Jesus said, believe. Believe. Believe in him, and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe in your heart right now that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. That he was buried, and early one Sunday morning, God raised him from the dead. Pray and ask him to save you today. Call on his name. I'll be glad, more than happy, to lead you. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've coveted and lusted after people and things before from my heart. I have dishonored, disobeyed, and disrespected my parents. I have dishonored your name by taking your holy name in vain. And I've committed many other sins. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. I believe with all of my heart that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit. I believe in you and I receive you as my Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit today and help me to truly repent of my sins past and present. And help me to turn from my evil life. And help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. By the way, when you go to Gospel Light Society, you can download my book that's titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And there's another book there as well that talks about salvation. You can download it free of charge and read that book and get all of the information you need to help you grow in the faith, your newfound faith in Christ. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.